We're holding on Zion Omer Aleph, the top line. And we've been discussing the matter of Yodos, of a partial declaration as far as Nidorim and Nazirus. And that led us into a series of questions by Rav Papa, whether the same concept of Yad can be applied in other areas of Halacha as well. So we went through, actually, it could apply by Gittin, but there we said it's not necessarily that we'd be learning it from Nidorim, but rather that maybe Gittin has something special of its own that would or wouldn't require Yadis. But we asked whether a Yad works by Kiddushin and whether a Yad works by Peah. So now another one, the Gemara asks, Yesh Yad L'Tzedakah or Ein Yad L'Tzedakah? When it comes to Tzedakah, does a Yad work or not? And again, the question would be because the question is going to be, as the Gemara is going to say, a few lines down, because again, tzedakah is like peah in that we said before, you have a pasuk, you have the pasuk about Bal Ta'achar that lists a bunch of things, one of them being a hint to tzedakah. So maybe therefore, once we have a hekesh between Nedarim and tzedakah, as far as Bal Ta'achar, maybe it applies to other things as well. Which, by the way, tzedakah is one of those things that can be chal just with a person's thoughts. You don't even need to, unlike, for example, Nedarim, earlier in the sugya, the Ram explained that Nedarim you can accomplish through only words, whereas for example, Kiddushin, you need to actually do something. You need to give a pruta. Tzedakah is even less than Nedarim in that regard, maybe more than Nedarim, however you look at it, in that you can do it only with your machshava. But so the Shita B'Kubetzis explains over here that we're talking about, let's say, so the person himself hasn't fully decided, but nevertheless, you know, as long as maybe his yad can be interpreted or reasonably interpreted, at least if it needs to be a yad mechiyach, that this thing is for tzedakah, then we would hold him to that. So that's the question. So if he says, again, this morning, so again, if he says this partial declaration, does that count? So again, the Gemara asks, and by the way, this is also another one of Rav Papa's questions. Tosfos on the previous Amud explains the previous two we introduced with Boyer Papa. The first one, of course, we had to. It was the first one in the series. The second one about Peah, we also introduced with Boyer Papa because in between the Gemara had asked something else. Does Rav Papa even hold of that concept of a Yad by Kiddushin at all? So therefore, it needed to reintroduce the next one as also Boyer Papa, so we're clear where the Gemara's discussion ends and Rav Papa begins. Here, where we're continuing directly from the previous one, and then we don't need to introduce it with a Boyer Papa. Anyway, but it is Rav Papa's question. So yesh yad l'tzedakah ein yad. So the Gemara asks hechi domi. What's the scenario? Ilei ma'da'ama hadein zuza l'tzedakah v'hadein nami. Is it that he says this coin, this zuz should go for tzedakah and this one also? Well, of course, that's not just the yad. Ahu tzedakah atzmi. There's no question. That's a declaration of tzedakah, and we can hold him to that. And that coin it has to be given to tzedakah. So Elak going to Omar Hadain Valoy Omar Nam. So rather, the case would be where he says, like in the cases where we had before, just like with the case of the two women, he said to one of them, Hariat Mukudeshus Li, and he says to the other one, Va'at, and you, without saying Nami. So does that mean, and you are also Mukudesh, or does it mean, and you also watch what I'm doing, or you, what do you think of what I'm doing, or whatever? And the same thing with Peah. We said that maybe it could mean the second one is pay, or maybe it could mean the second one I'm reserving for my family's needs. The same way over here, where he says, Hodein, this one, Valoyam Nami, and he doesn't say also. So, my. So what does he mean? Hodein Nami Tzedakah Ka'amar. Can we say that he means that this one is also Tzedakah? And therefore, even though, again, as the Shittim Kubetza said, we're not even necessarily talking about he himself may not have fully decided that he plans to give it to Tzedakah, but once he says something that can imply that, then maybe we hold him to that. Again, maybe Vahodain means that he's going to use it, he's going to reserve it for his family needs. The Dibura, who did I ask? He didn't finish up. So he didn't finish up saying that. So that's the scenario, the same kind of scenario as we had with the previous ones. So now the sides of the question are, mi aminin kiven de itkash la korbanus. Do we say on the one hand, tzedakah has a hekesh to korbanus, dichtiv, because in the pasuk of Bal Ta'achar, which we've been quoting bits and pieces of throughout the sugya, where there's a line in the pasuk ends over there that you have to keep, asher dibarta b'ficha, what you spoke with your mouth, and the word b'ficha zu tzedakah. The word beficha, the Gemara explains over there, refers to tzedakah. So Rashi on the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah explains there's no particular connection between the word beficha and tzedakah, but since we've used all the other phrases in the pasuk for something else, and all we have left is that one phrase, and all we have left is tzedakah, which is also something that a person pledges to give, and then he has to give, then we can say there's a connection between them. Tosfos over there and the Mefarish over here and the Rosh over here all point out that you actually have not the Rosh actually, he just refers to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but Tosfos over there and the Mefarish over here mention a pasuk from Nevi'im where Hashem says about himself, Yotza mipi tzedakah. Tzedakah, righteousness has come forth from my mouth, meaning that Hashem is saying, I've given the Nevi'im a Nevuah that the Jewish people are going to be taken out of Golus. So therefore we see there is an actual connection between the word pi, the word mouth, and the word tzedakah. So the Gemara is using that as a basis for the Jerusha. Anyway, so on the one hand, we have that hekesh. So we would say, ma korbanos yesh lahen yad. So just like korbanos, a yad applies, as we've been saying throughout the sugya, a person doesn't have to say, for example, hare olai oila. You can say hare olai on an animal, and that's enough to make it that the animal is a korban. Af tzedakah yesh lo yad. So maybe tzedakah should be the same kind of thing. Or dumal about to afu de itkash. Or maybe we can say the hekesh is strictly as far as bal to acher and nothing else. Where again, you know, we had before, the Ran pointed out what happened to the concept of ein hekesh lemechza, where when we have a hekesh between two things, it means it's supposed to go throughout to everything. But again, since it doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk, since we're only darshaning it from the word beficha, then we don't necessarily have to say ein hekesh lemechza on that. Ein hekesh lemechza would mean if you have two things that are explicitly stated in a pasuk, and one is placed next to the other, then we can say once you're making a hekesh between them, then it applies across the board.
But this animal, he's standing next to the animal?
Or? Yeah, let's say he's standing next to the animal and says, Hare Zeh. That's more of a yad, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, so a yad works by hekdesh, yad works by korbanos, and for that matter, it also works by nedarim, where, after all, the concept of a neder, we said, is that you're makfis v'davar anodr, you're comparing it to a korban or something else that can gain its kedusha through a neder. So therefore, so we see that a yad applies to certain areas involving korbanos.
And with regard to our case, though, the money, he's holding the money in his hand.
So yeah, let's say, for example, he's holding two coins in his hand. And he says, this one is for tzedakah, and this one, without saying what's with the other one.
It's important to have to say, if he says, hurry, you know, is that not enough? If he just points
and says, hare, probably not. I mean, I don't even think that would be considered a yad mashiach. That just means here it is. Hare just means here it is, you know, yeah. The Ran also adds, by the way, that there's really, once we ask about peah, there's not necessarily a need to ask separately about tzedakah. Because after all, they're similar in that regard. In fact, peah is more chomer because peah, we said a person can, the Torah requires a person to give peah. A person is required to give tzedakah, but much less than that. Actually, the Ran says his Rebbeim explained it that way. He himself doesn't like that explanation because look, you're chayiv in peah, you're also chayiv in tzedakah. So
you're chayiv more in tzedakah. I mean, the amount that you have to give is more.
The amount, well, you have to give 10%, right? That's, well, the concept of giving 10%, really, I mean, it has roots going all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, actually all the way to Avraham Avinu in this week's parasha, by Yitzhak Mas and Mikol. But nevertheless, it's not necessarily, from money, it's not necessarily considered as much of a chiyuv. It's still considered to, many Rishonim disagree what exactly is the nature of the chiyuv. Is it, in fact, d'oraisa, or is it only d'rabbanan, or maybe it's even only a minhag? So, the Ran says apparently what it is the question about peah and the question about tzedakah. One has nothing to do with the other, which is why the Gemara didn't say im tim tzaloyma between them. You can't say if the din is that there's yad by peah, then the next question to ask is what about tzedakah. One has nothing to do with the other. It's conceivable that there might be a yad for peah and not for tzedakah, or vice versa. Next, the question is. Yesh yad lahefter, a duma in yad lahefter. What about if a person wants to declare something hefter? Is there a yad for it? Where again, the same idea. In other words, a person would take one object and say, this is hefter, and then take another one and say, and this, without saying, and this one also, or something. So the Gemara asks, what kind of a question is that? Hainu tzedakah. Isn't that effectively the same? Isn't that effectively the same as tzedakah? Why else would you be declaring something? Why else would you be declaring something hefker if not for the fact that you want the aniyim to get it? Now, strictly speaking, the difference is that tzedakah is only for poor people. You actually have machlokas b'shamay b'shilul about this in Masechta Peah. B'shamay holds you can validly declare something hefker for aniyim only. B'shilul says that no, hefker by definition is for aniyim and for ashirim. And of course, there's also the difference that hefker, once you've declared something hefker, you can take it back. But nevertheless, basically, when a person is declaring something hefker, he's going to be doing it in order to give it a tzedakah.
Take it back only if he's ani, becomes ani.
No, not necessarily. No, once it's hefker, it's free for the taking for anybody. So Medirabbanan, actually, it's interesting that Amnam actually puts the halachas of hefker in Hilchas Nedarim because he says hefker is a kind of neder also. And so he deals with the halachas over there in half of a parak over there in Hilchas Nedarim. Midrabbanan, I think we're going to talk about hefker in more detail later in Amos Efta, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Midrabbanan, actually, what you have to do when you mafkir something, you have to be mafkir it in front of at least three people, so that way two of them effectively are edim on it, and the third one conceivably could take it if he wants. But the fact is, the halacha is once you've declared something hefker, you could take it back for yourself if you want. So, the point is that when a person makes something hefker, generally speaking, they're doing it in order to give it to tzedakah. They basically want the aniyim to get it. You need something midrabbanan. If you want to make something hefker, you need to do it in front of three people. Midaraisa, it would be enough. A person can make something hefker just by himself. Midrabbanan, you need three people over there, so that way two of them are edim and one of them conceivably could take it. If you want to write on it, I don't know, maybe if you write, you're talking about like when people put out boxes of books or clothing or whatever now, maybe that would work also. I don't know. The fact is, you have a writing on it, so fine. Many people can pass by and see that it says hefker, fine. I guess maybe that would be like witnesses, yeah. So Tosfos points out, the point is that usually you mafkir something in order for aniyim to get it. So why are we asking a separate question once we asked about tzedakah? The Gemara is asking, hainu tzedakah? And the answer is imtim tzaloimah, karma. The answer is Rapapa is asking it as one of these imtim tzaloimah type things. Imtim tzaloimah yesh yad l'tzedakah. If you're going to say that after all a yad works for tzedakah, that would be on the grounds that ein hekesh lemechza. Because after all, there is that rule of ein hekesh lemechza. And even though, as the Ran said before, there doesn't actually say tzedakah in so many words in the pasuk, we're only learning it from Beficha, still you could argue that maybe that counts as a full-fledged hekesh as well, and therefore tzedakah would have to be included. Well, hefker, miyamrin, and hainu tzedakah. Well, now the question would become about hefker. Is hefker considered tzedakah? Maybe tzedakah is different to tzedakah, like chazir el l'aniyim, because again, tzedakah is only for poor people. Hefker, aval hefker, bein l'aniyim, bein l'ashirim, hefker can be for both, so maybe it's not really counted as tzedakah after all.
So even if
you say that there's a yad for tzedakah, maybe that doesn't mean necessarily that would apply to hefker as well. In fact, Tosfos says, look, I mean, you have a dozen different dinim that I mentioned in the pasuk over there. You have kobanos, you have tzedakah, you have leket shidchul peah, you have all kinds of things over there. We can't possibly say that there's a hekesh between them for everything. I mean, look, you know, obviously there are dinim that are unique to korbanos and dinim that are unique to tzedakah and so forth. So after all, maybe we could say that maybe the hekesh only goes only as far as not even in other words, Tosfos say not even because of what the Ran says that it doesn't explicitly say korbanos in the pasuk or it doesn't explicitly say tzedakah or so on and so forth, but just the very fact. Just because you have a bunch of things in one pasuk, you can't possibly be makish them as far as everything. So maybe in that case, even tzedakah then is maybe the hekesh doesn't apply to tzedakah in the first place. Ein hekesh lemechza is saying, why limit Torah? But after all, the fact is, the Torah had to tell us a din about ta'acha about all these things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that as far as other dinim that we should compare tzedakah and korbanos and leket shikha and peah and so on and so forth. There are, after all, important differences. I mean, what are you going to say? For example, let's say korbanos and leket shikha and peah apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, tzedakah applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, you're not going to say something. So, yeah. Okay. Next, Boy Ravina, now that we had a bunch of questions from Rav Papa about Yodos, now comes one from Ravina. Yesh Yad l'beis hakiseh oloi. Is there a concept of Yad as far as declaring a place a beis hakiseh? Now, usually you would have a besakisa, of course, you're in bathroom, you're not allowed to daven in it, you're not allowed to even think words of Torah in it. But with most areas that you might not be allowed to, you would, this actually, the Gemara is going to point out now in a couple of lines that there's the question, Bichlal, does designating a place as a bathroom already make it usur to say Krishma or whatever in, or is it only when it's actually used, only when it starts actually being used? So right now, Ravina's question, the Gemara is going to point out, is premised on the idea that yes, being mazmin it is effective. So the question is whether a yad is effective for that as well. In other words, again, if a person says, for example, this is going to be for a bathroom and this. So again, the Gemara asks, hey, dummy, what's the scenario? Does he mean that he says this room will be a besakise, but hadain nami, and this one also? Again, he said the word nami, how will besakise nami have? Then, of course, the second one becomes a besakise as well. Okay. Again, the question is, he says this without saying the also, so what does he mean with the hadain? Does he mean this one also he means to designate as a besakise? Again, just like we had before with Peya, where conceivably he could mean this particular plot is for Peya and this one I'm reserving for my family. Or he could mean, for example, with tzedakah, this one I'm giving for tzedakah and this one I'm reserving for something else. The same way over here, he could mean this one I'm reserving for a bathroom and this one I'm reserving for something else.
But for my family, not for...
Because it doesn't matter whether it's a bathroom for his family or for everybody else.
Right.
Either way, it's going to be also.
Right.
But he could conceivably mean, not even for a bathroom, he could mean, this one I'm designating for a bathroom, and this one also I'm designating for something, but not a bathroom, I'm designating as a closet, or I'm designating as an office, or whatever. Maybe. So that's the question. So my hodein to Omar. What does he mean by the word hodein? This. No, v'hodein nami besakise. Does he mean this one also has the din of a bathroom? Adyoma mai v'hodein latashmisha ba'almakomar. Maybe he means it's a v'hodein. I'm designating it for some purpose, but not necessarily for a bathroom. Well, the Gemara says mikhlal pshita le l'rava diyesh zimun besakise. Now, what is the implication? Ravina takes it as a given that has mana. Saying this place will be a bathroom is enough to designate it as a bathroom as far as these din. And the only question is whether a yad works for that purpose. The problem with that is, we find that Ravina himself asks that very question in Brachas, his mina and in Shabbos, his mina le besakise mahu. What if a person designates a place as a bathroom and he hasn't even used it yet? What would be the din? Is that enough? Just him saying this is going to be used as a bathroom, is that enough to make it that now already it's also to say Krishma or whatever in? And also, for that matter, he asks, is Minul Beis HaMerchatz Mahu? What if he designated it as a bathhouse? Same thing, because you can't say Shema in a bathhouse either.
Even if it's not being used,
right. And so within a bathhouse itself, you have the Gemara mentions in a few places, there's the different rooms. You have the room where everybody is still dressed. You have the room where some people are dressed and some are undressed. You have the one where everybody is undressed, and each of them has different dinim as far as Krishma and tefillin and so on and so forth. So Ravina himself has the question about if you designate a place as a bathroom or if you designate a place as a bathhouse, whether that works. Now, actually, Hagoris HaGro takes out the words his mina lebeis hamerchatz mahu, and the reason for that is actually. In fact, other Mefoshim point out that in Brachas over there, or in Shabbos, when it discusses it, the Gemara starts with Ravina asks the question about a Beis HaMerchatz, and we end up answering that a Beis HaMerchatz is different. So maybe that doesn't belong in the Gemara over here. Or maybe on the contrary, at first he asked the question about both of them, and then later on he was able to figure out about a Beis HaMerchatz, and the question about a Beis HaKisa stayed open. So anyway, the point is that Ravina himself is asking, is Hazmana enough? If you designate a place as a bathroom, is that enough to make it that now it's also to say Krishma in there? So why is he even asking about a Yad where that presupposes already that he's saying that Hazmana is enough to make it a bathroom? And the answer is the Gemara says, you're right. And he asked Zimun Moyel or in Zimun Moyel. So is Zimun effective or not? And the answer is exactly. Ravina has one question, and then based on that, another question. Zimun Moyel or in Zimun Moyel. Bechlal, is Zimun effective or does a place only become a basic case only when you start using it? And if you're going to say that zimun apply, and as soon as you say this place is going to be a bathroom, then it becomes also to say kriyishma in there, then the question would be yesh yad or ein yad. Then the question would be, is a yad effective or not? And the Gemara says, you're right, Tiboyle, with all of these things, with all of these questions that we had, as far as Kiddushin and Peya and Tzedakah and Hefter and Besek Kiseh, all of them, Tiboyle, the question is left open, which is the Nedarim's way of saying Teipu. We said at the beginning of the Masech, the Loshin Nedarim Neshuna, many times the terminology in Nedarim is different than it is in most of the rest of Shas. Tiboyle is actually a more typical Yerushalmi type expression. So it means that all of these have been left in Teipu. So what is the actual halacha? So the Ran goes into a bit of discussion with you. He brings from the Rashba and the Ramban and says that in all of them you would have to be machmir because all of them it's sopik daraisa. Not all of them are daraisa. When it comes to kiddushin, it would be when it comes to kiddushin, it's a sopik daraisa. So you'd have to be machmir. When it comes to peya and tzedaka, he brings from the Ramban and the Rashba and says that we have to be machmir on it. So then the Rambam also paskins that way. However, the Ran asks on that and says by at least some of them, at least by Tzedakah and by Hefter, those things are matters of dinim mominus. It's a matter of is it a suffix, whether it belongs to the aniyim. Why should we have to be machmer on those? And he discusses in some detail over there what the halacha is. Lemaisa, in Shulchan Aruch, paskins like the Rambam and all of them, that you have to be machmer with suffix. With the exception of, in the case of the bathroom, what we do, so in the case of Kiddushin, it's Kiddushin Misafik, and you need to get Misafik. In the case of Peya, we say that it's considered Peya. In the case of Tzedakah, same thing, the second coin also has to be given to Tzedakah. In the case of Hefker, again, we would say it becomes Hefker. In the case of the bathroom, actually, what we say is that L'chatchila, if bathroom was designated through a yad, L'chatchila, you should not say Kriyishma in there. But B'diyevit, if you did, we're not going to make you repeat it because after all, the Gemara is leaving it over here as a suffix.
It wasn't used as a bathroom.
B'chlal, you have an interesting point. To what extent do these dinim apply to our bathrooms nowadays? The Gemara in Berachos actually mentions a kind of bathroom they had in those times, a Beis HaKiseh Shel Parsiyim, that the Persians made, where as soon as a person used it, the tzoya would right away roll into a hole in the ground and wouldn't be visible anymore, which is similar in a way to our flush toilets. So the dinim for that are more lenient than with the kind of bathroom, like an outhouse or a porta potty or whatever, where it stays right there. So there is some discussion among the poskim achronim about our bathrooms. You're not going to be saying Krishma or whatever in there, but maybe b'dievet, if a person says it in there, maybe, and there's no tzoya in there at the time, maybe he's not going to have to repeat it.
If it's covered,
if you have the lid down, maybe, oh, nah, but the it's not so much the toilet itself, it's the room as a whole was designated for that purpose. But you also have, they talk about that nowadays most bathrooms are multi-purpose. You don't only use it for going to the bathroom, you also use it for washing your hands or for taking a bath or whatever. So maybe it has different dinim as well.
More macho or more?
So maybe more make, or the fact that it's not exclusively used as a toilet, maybe there's more reason to be make.
Beis Merchitz and bathroom together.
But a Beis Merchitz is more a public bathhouse because a public bathhouse you think of like a mikveh. It's very very sweaty and humid and whatever. An individual person's bathroom with a shower or a tub in it is not quite as bad as that. But yeah, fine. So now getting back to matters of Nedarim after this whole digression to talk about Yodos. The Mishnah had said that another case where a person might say a yad is he says menuda aniloth. So he says I am menuda, which we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. Is that meloshin nidui? So in other words, he's saying that I'm going to act towards you as if I am nidui to you. And we said Rabbi Akiva hoyachoychech bazelahach. That Rabbi Akiva was uncertain about it, and he was thinking to be machmir on it, which we said choichich can have a couple of meanings. The Ran and the Rosh bring over here. It can mean meloshin, like when a person is unsure about something and he scratches his head or bites his lip or something. So like you can tell he's thinking to be machmir, but he's not actually saying it out. Or the Ran says another possibility: choichich can be meloshin cheich, a palate. In other words, it tastes to him. He's inclined to say that it's also, but again, not saying it outright. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya, Moide Rabbi Akiva le'inyan malchus she'ein eloike. Now Rabbi Akiva will agree that if a person says menuda ani loch, and then he ends up violating that possible neder, that yad, that he's not getting malchus. The imkain, because if Rabbi Akiva actually held that he gets malchus, nisni Rabbi Akiva machmir, then the Mishnah could have just used the word Rabbi Akiva machmir instead of saying hoyachoychich bazel hachmir. So the Rosh explains if the Mishnah had used the expression Rabbi Akiva machmir would mean that he sees good reason to make it a yad. Choychich machmir implies that Rabbi Akiva himself has a suffix and you can't give a person malchus because of a suffix. Tosfos says a little bit differently the fact that it's using such a long wash. Instead of just saying flat out Rabbi Akiva machmir implies that it's only machmir as far as that we have to hold him to that neder, but not as far as that we're going to give him malchus for it. So the Papa says, let's clarify what the case of the machlokes is. Benadina minoch. If the person says nadina minoch, now the word nadina. Now the Mefarish says over here that nadina would be meloshin menuda. So then that would be, in other words, he's clearly saying, so that's no different, for example, than saying meruchakni mimcho, meruchshani mimcho, that we said in the Mishnah, where everybody agrees that that's a yad. So if he were to say that, then that would be kula amul, de kula amul, like plagid no osir, then everybody would agree that it's osir. There are different, and the Ran adds, he would even be getting malchus for that. Because he's saying nadina minach, which means that I am now the word nadina, and there are actually different yursois over here, but anyway, the word nadina, so the Mefarish printed under Rashi over here says that means melosh and nidu, but the Ran explains that rather what it means is we can relate it to the word na, we can relate it to the word navanod. So it means, in other words, I'm going to literally wander away from. So if he says that, the Ran adds to that the word shani oichaloch, then it would be like the other cases in the Mishnah. The same way we said before that if he says mudrani mimcha shani oichaloch, we say no question, that's a full-fledged neder, or at least it's a yad of a neder, it's a yad by chiyach. The same way over here, if he says nadina mimach shalo oichaloch, then that would also count as a full neder, and there's no question about that. There's not even any choichach bazeh, no question, it's a full neder, and he's getting malchus. On the other hand, if he says mishamasna minach, on the other hand, if he uses an expression mishamasna minach, which is a lashon of shamta, which is a shamta as a type of cherem, then l'kula al mashari, then everybody would agree that he's mutter. Now, why would that? So the Mefarish understands that shamta is not quite as serious as nidu. So if he says menuda aniloch, like in the Mishnah, or actually menuda aniloch was saying is the machlokes, but if he says nadina minoch, which clearly means I am menuda from you, then that would be osir. But if he says mishamasna, where shamta is weaker than nidui, then maybe not. The Ran explains differently. He says because when according to him, nadina means I will wander away, I will stay away from you, whereas mishamasna is more a loshen of shamta, a loshen of cherem, saying in effect, I will consider myself under a cherem to you, but that's not a loshen of a neder. The loshen of a neder is that you're saying, for example, I'll stay away from you or something. Mishamasna mimach does not necessarily imply that. In fact, Tosfos says you can't, a person is not going to say, that's more like a loshen of klala. That's more like a loshen of klala, or at most maybe it means he's saying I won't stand in your four amas. It doesn't imply a loshen of neder that I am not going to have hana from you. We're trying to find over here whether it's a loshen of saying I won't have hana from you. So saying mishamas namimach, everybody is going to agree is not a loshen of that.
Is that Hatoras Nedarim that loshen?
So in Hatoras Nedarim we have the expression at the end ein kan lo nidu v'lecherem v'leshamta. So it is. The mishamasna is the same show as a shamta. But there, what it is really the Haturas Nedarim that we do. We're actually missing a section that was in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, which the later on that Rebbeim said it's in Hayyim Yim that we don't say it called Seder Nezifa. The original Haturas Nedarim, if you look in the Alter Rebbe's original Seder, there was Haturas Nedarim. You're saying that I regret any of my previous Nedarim and I want to cancel them, and then And then you're also saying a tnai mehayoyim oid that if I forget and say a neder in between, there was a piece over there called atoras nezifa, which is that if a person was put in cherem, then they're being matter that cherem. We're going to talk about that concept actually on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about today about that on Amud Beis, about that concept of being matter a cherem that was placed on a person by another person. And then when everybody answers him with the last paragraph, etc., they're not only acknowledging his declaration that from now on any of my nedarim are not going to be in effect, they're also acknowledging that you requested to be mutter from your cherem, and therefore we're saying but Lamaisa, the later Rebbeim, said to take out the Seder Nezifa, so we don't have that. So therefore, you look at there and what kind of in kan la nidu v'leshamta v'leoru, whoever said anything about nidu shamta and oru in the first place. But that's well. Anyway, so we do have the word shamta in there as well. Yeah, but anyway, the point is that when we're saying over here, if he says mishamas namimach, even though it is true that shamta is another form of nidui, so the Ran adds, even if he added the words and shani oichaloch, that would not be enough to constitute a neder, because that's a lashon of nidui and has nothing to do with neder. The question is, when a person says menudani loch, then we're saying Rabbi Akiva has a suffix. When a person says nadina minoch, which more clearly means I am in nidui to you, or I am staying away, I'm wandering away from you, navanad, then we're saying that would be effective. But if he just says meshamas namimach, even if he says meshamas namimach, she'eni oichaloch, that does not constitute a neder of not having hanav from the guy. At most, what it means is you're saying that I won't eat within your four amas or something. So but my pligi, so the Papa says, what would be the machlokas? The menuda aniloch, the exact line that says in the Mishnah, menuda loch, and it would mean shani oichal, and he adds the words shani oichal loch. Like we said before, Shmuel, we learned the other day that Shmuel had said that any of the lashonis that we had earlier in the Mishnah, mufushan mudrani mimcha, mufushani mimcha, he has to pair them up with shani oichal loch in order for it to be a full neder. Otherwise, we said it's yadayim she'en and mechichas. So now, when he uses the word menuda anilach, the Rabbi Akiva sava lishna dininduyahu. So now, Rabbi Akiva holds that it's a loshen of staying away, and therefore, what it means is he's saying, "I will stay away, and I won't eat from your food." So in other words, he's making a neder of hana from the other guy. But Rabbanan Sabri lishna demeshamastahu, whereas the Chachamim hold that menuda anilach can equally well be understood as a lashon of shamta, because again, nidui and shamta are roughly synonyms, and therefore it can mean that he's saying that I'm putting myself in nidui, or he's saying, for example, he's cursing himself or something, as Tosfos says, but that doesn't constitute a neder to not have hanah from the other guy. At most, it would mean that he's making a neder not to eat within the guy's four amas. And even that, really, because a neder, we said, we've been saying all along, a neder is really on an object, not on the person, so then we would have to say it's really more shvua. If we're going to say anything, we're going to say it's more shvua that he won't eat within the guy's fuamas. It wouldn't really be a neder per se. It would be a shvua expressed as a neder, as we learned a few days ago.
So the punishment is different?
Not that the punishment is different, but they have different dinim. We've talked about before, and we're going to talk about later on in the parak, that shvuas and nedarim have certain different dinim as far as can one be chal on top of another, and can you say one of them in a way that will prevent a mitzvah from taking place, and so on and so forth. So that would be the machlok, specifically when he says menuda aniloch. So again, if he says clearly a loshen mishamasna, which does not at all imply staying away, it implies a loshen of cherem or a loshen of klala, so then we would say that's not effective at all. Menuda, on the other hand, if he says nadina minach, which is much more clearly a loshen of staying away, then we would say that it does constitute a neder. The machlokas says on menuda aniloch, what does that mean? Can we understand menuda meloshen nidui, or can we understand that meloshen novanot, that I'll stay away?
It means the same thing.
Well, of course, a person is a nidui, has to stay away. So ultimately, the shurdish is the same. But the difference is that when a person is saying, I am a nidui to you, he's not necessarily thereby expressing a neder that I'm also to have hanav from you. At most, what he means is I'll stay four amas away from you. As opposed to, we could also say that it's similar to mufushani mimcha, meruchakni mimcha, that we had in the Mishnah. We're saying, I'm separated from you, or I'm distanced from you. And then he continues, Shani Oichaloch, namely, whatever I would have eaten of yours, where then we're saying that counts as a yad for a neder, and now it's considered, now it means that he's expressed a neder, that he's not gonna eat from the other guy's food. Not just that he won't eat within four amas of him, but he won't eat from the other guy's food or have any hanah from him at all. So now, if he says, Menudani loch, Shani Oichaloch, then you have the same question.
Right, but here, instead of saying the word achal, eating.
Well, that's the thing. The Ran is
right.
So if he just says, that's the thing. That's what the Ran is explaining throughout the whole thing over here. If he just says Nadina Mimach, then only if he says Shani Oichaloch, only then are we saying it's effective. If he just says Nadina Mimach, right, that itself is not going to be enough to accomplish anything, because then that doesn't necessarily constitute a neder of Hanah. That's not even a Yad Mechiach, because it could equally well mean I will stay away from your four arms. Right. So throughout over here, when he says Nadina Mimach, or Meshamas Naminach, or Menudani Loch, in each one of them, the Ran explains, we're talking about where he pairs it up with an expression such as Ani Shani Oichaloch. Does somebody have to hear the neder? Not necessarily, no, even if the person says the neder on his own. I mean, if he says Loch, obviously he's referring to somebody else, so the other person hears. But no, if a person makes a neder, Bein Levein Atzma, it would also work. All it is, I mean, practically speaking, to give him Malkus, you can't very well give him Malkus unless there's a way of knowing that he made the neder. But yeah, as far as the chiyuv for him to fulfill the neder, that's going to apply whether other people heard it or not.
And that would be for a certain amount of time, like 30 days or
something. So stam neder, there's no time limit. Nazirus, stam nazirus shloshim yom. Stam neder, if he just says that such and such is also to me, it's open-ended. As we talked about the other day, in terms of afara of the husband or the father. Yeah. Okay, so that's the machloikas. So getting back to the Gemara. So that's the machloikas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, specifically on that one losh menudani loch, together with Shani Oichaloch. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Pliga de Rav Chista. Now that understanding of Rav Papa's disagrees with Rav Chista's understanding of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And we know, Dahu Gavra de Omer, Meshamasna Benichse de Brei de Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, there was a person who used the expression Meshamasna, that I am putting on myself a shamta against the Nechosim of the son of Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba. Also, Kamei de Rav Chista. Later on, he came to find out from Rav Chista, is that considered a valid neder? Omalei, and Rav Chista tells him, lest the choshlo mahal de Rav Akiva. And Rav Chista told him, nobody is concerned for what Rav Akiva says, because after all, Rav Akiva may be choychech lahachmer, but he's only a das yochid, and we know halacha is only like Rav Akiva, mechavei roi, only when there's one tana arguing against him, not mechavei rov, not with the chachamim, plural, argue against him. And so we see kasava b'mashamasna pligi. So we see the implication is that Rav Chista would hold that Rav Akiva and the Chachamim are arguing about mashamasna as well. So in other words, Rav Chista is saying, had the halacha been like Rav Akiva, then yes, what you said would constitute a neder to not have hana from the son of Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba. Only because we know nobody's concerned for Rav Akiva's opinion, because he's a das yachid, only therefore do you not have to worry about it. So we see that Rav Chista understands the machlokes differently than Rav Papa does.
Why
mentions? Because that's the story. It so happened that he said about Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'aba. But you're right. The Pashtus, the Gemara could have said it without the name as well. But this is how the Gemara did.
What did Papa say in this case?
So the Papa would say that L'chula al-Mashari, you said before, everybody would agree it's Mutter. Wouldn't matter whether the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva or the Chachamim as far as Menur Dani Loch. Meshamasna, Rabbi Papa would say, doesn't even constitute a neder at all, and therefore, at least not a neder to not have enough from the other guys in the Chassim, and therefore, that's that. We wouldn't worry about it. The Ran also points out, fact is that a menuda menuda is a pretty serious thing. When a person is put in nidui with from Beis Din, then sometimes we may say that actually his nechosim are also to other people to have anah from. But the Ran says it's one thing, a chedim of the Beis Din at God may have that seriousness. A chedim from a regular Beis Din, not necessarily. So in this, by the way, so now it ends up, the Rambam actually does paskin the halacha to a certain extent, like Rabbi Akiva. He says, when he brings these halachas in Hilchos Nedarim, he mentions that if a person says, Nodina Mimach, see here, So what he says is, if he says menudani loch or mashamas nimimach, then what it means is, so if he says all by itself without saying shani oichal loch, then all it means is he can't be within his four amas. If he says and then he goes on to say that if he says that if he says menudani loch, then he shouldn't eat from him, but vim ochal eni loch, because he says at least you have the suffix. In other words, given that Rabbi Akiva has a suffix. Now, yes, Rav Chisda is saying over here nobody's concerned about Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but the implication is, the Kesef Mishnah explains at some length on the Rambam over there, that the Rambam would say, yeah, but Rav Papa is disagreeing with Rav Chisda, and not necessarily does that mean that the halacha is like Rav Chisda's understanding of it. Rav Papa is not saying anything about anybody disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva. The halacha may well be like Rav Papa's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, and that would mean that at least in that case you have to be machmir. So fine, we said Malkus you can't get, because even Rabbi Akiva is not going to be machayv and Malkus on a suffix, but nevertheless the din would apply. The Ravid says over there that actually it still wouldn't mean that he's also to have anah from the other guys in the chasim. It would just mean that he can't eat within his four amas. And the Noisekadim over there on the Rambam discussed, the Kesef Mishnah in particular, discusses at some length over there that there were actually several different ways to understand our Gemara. There were also, at the beginning when we said Nadina, there were actually a few different Gersois, whether the word was Nadina or Naduna or whatever. So therefore, so all told, it comes out, again, even though Rav Chisda is saying less to Choshla, Lahad Rav Akiva, it's actually not so simple. There may be a certain Chashash for what Rav Akiva says, to the extent that he's going to be also in something. So now that we've talked about nidui, so now the Gemara digresses from here till the bottom of the Amud to talk about some other dinim of nidui. The Gemara says, Amar of Ila Amar Rav, nidohu b'fano. If a person was put in nidui in the presence of, if somebody was put in nidui in his own presence, so he was actually present when they put him in nidui, then en matirin lo ela b'fano. Then they can be matir him only when he himself is present. The Ran says we're talking about Chutchila. The Rosh brings an explanation that maybe even B'dievet we have to do that. Now, why would that be? So there's a couple of different reasons that the Mefoshim give over here. The Ran first brings a reason that because when it was done in his presence, then it's a stronger nidui, and therefore he needs to be present in order to be matur. The Ran doesn't like that explanation. So he says rather the reason is Chashad. What happens when matur him when he's not present? Later on, he sees that everybody is treating him normally. They're not treating him like he's a nidui anymore. So he's apt to think that. Nidui doesn't really mean much. So like this, if a person was put in nidui while he was present, so Reuven did something wrong, and so Beis Din or Talmid Chacham, as we're going to talk about soon, declared on him that Reuven is a nidui
in his face.
So now to be matter him, you have to be matter him before him in his presence. So again, according to the Rosh, according to one possibility in the Rosh, we're saying that you can't do it unless he's present, even b'dievet. According to the Rosh's first possibility, and according to everybody else, we're saying l'chatchila, you shouldn't be matur unless he's there. B'dievet, it would work, but why not l'chatchila? So again, one reason the Ran brings might be because it's a stronger kind of nidui when it's in his presence, and the Ran doesn't like that explanation. And he says rather the reason is because of chashad, if we matur him shaloi b'fanav, and later on he sees. So he sees that they're treating him normally. He's going to come and suspect. He's going to think that people don't know that people. He's going to suspect that people are being careless with the concept of nidui, or even maybe that the concept of nidui itself doesn't matter so much. So therefore we want to do it before up, so that's clear that he knows that they were matter.
Why would you do it without shalom before?
So that's the thing. So according to the Ran, the Dievet, you could do it shalom before, and fine, we can inform him afterwards or something. But yeah. But nidohu shloi b'fanav, but continues Rav Ila, if you put him in nidui when he wasn't present, matirin lei ben b'fanav, ben shloi b'fanav, then they can be matir him whether he's present or not, because then you don't have any of this. Then you don't have any of this concern of chashad. Another din in this connection, Omer Rav Chanan, Omer Rav, Hashemeya has koras Hashem mipi chaveroi. If a person hears another yid saying Hashem's name in vain, Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, Sorech Lanadoisoi. He needs to put the other guy in nidui, the one who said it. The imloi nidohu, hu atzma yehe ben nidui. And if he doesn't do that, then he himself deserves to be in nidui. The Ran stresses, it doesn't mean that he's automatically in Nidri. It means that he deserves to be put in Nidri. In other words, another Beis Din or another Talmid Chacham who overhears what happened ought to put this guy in Nidri. He doesn't go into Nidri automatically because the Ran says, listen, even the guy himself who was Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala was saying somebody has to put him in Nidri. So certainly the one who heard it and didn't do anything shouldn't be worse off than that. Now, why should he be putting him in Nidri? So the Mephoresh over here says a point. The Gemara is going to say in a minute that when a person uses Shem Shemayim Levatola, it causes him to become poor. So the Mephoresh says, actually, by putting him in Nidui, that itself will be. Now, really, he should be Chayiv Misa. Really, he should be Chayiv Misa for that. So you do him a favor and put him in Nidui. That way, instead, he'll only become poor and only Choshev Kemes. So that's according to Rashi. The reason you're doing it is in order that it should have these consequences. According to everybody else, the vote is that just because it's such a serious aveira, you can't just ignore it. You have to put the guy in. You have to put the guy in Nidri for it. And that's when he's talking about when he's doing it with Mezid. And the Gemara continues. Shekol, you see how serious using Shem Shemayim Levatola is. Shekol Mokum Shas Koras Hashem Mitzuya. Any place where using Hashem's name is common, where people use it casually, Shem Anius Mitzuya, poverty is common over there. The Ran explains, you have a pasuk at the end of Parashas Yisrael that says, "Mechol amokam asher azkir shmi." Every place Hashem says, where I will allow my name to be said, "Ove yelecha, ove rachticha," I will come to you and bless you. So we understand, "Meklal hei not Hashem alav." The flip side is, if Hashem is not giving permission for his name to be used in this context, and it's being used, then it results in a lack of birth. Va'anius kemisa, and in turn, being poor is like being dead. As we find by Moshe, where Hashem tells him, go return to Mitzrayim, to tell Paroi to let the Jewish people go, because don't worry, all the people who were trying to kill you are all dead, and they were Dosan Aviram. And we know, and in fact, what it means is that Dosan Aviram became poor. Now, the Ran explains over here at some length. It can't mean, now we know actually later in the Masechta, first of all, it can't mean they were actually dead because we find them later on. They were around during the Machlokas of Korach, yeah. Now later on in the Masechta, we're going to say there are four things that are Choshev Kemes. Besides for Anius, there's also if a person is blind, if a person is a Mitzurah, or if a person has no children. Each of them is Choshev Kemes, and later on in the Masechta, it brings Psukim for each one of those things. However, the Ran points out here with Dosan and Aviram, by elimination, we can't say it's any of those things. We can't say, what's the point? Hashem is telling Moshe, don't worry about them. Paro is not going to listen to them anymore. Now, if they were childless, that wouldn't prevent Paro from listening to them. Why would he care? So it can't be that. Also, other Mephoshim point out by the story with Korach, it actually says that they came out with Tapam Nesheim of name. They came out with their children and their wives and they're standing over there and insulting Moshe. So we see they had children. You can't say they were blind, the Ran says, because later on, also in the story of Korach, when Moshe asks them to come to him, they tell him, Loi nala, ha'ma'ati ha'lisonu, and they say, ha'eni anoshim ahem t'naka, what are you going to put out those people's eyes? Even if you put out our eyes, we're not going to come out. Mashma, that they could see. Otherwise, that's an empty statement. So they can't be blind, and they can't be mitzaroyim. He says, because if they were, then the pasuk says they were bekerev ko Yisrael. They lived among the whole Jewish people. So they obviously didn't have tzaras, otherwise they'd be outside the machne. You also can't say that maybe they were healed by Matan Torah, because it also says, even though everybody was healed of their mumim by Matan Torah, after the Chet Egel, all those mumim came back. So therefore, if they had tzaras before Matan Torah, then they would have still had it. They would have had it after the Chet Egel, and they wouldn't be bekerev ko Yisrael. So by elimination, the only thing that could have happened to them that is Choshev Kemes is becoming poor. And the point is, once they're poor, then Paro is not going to pay any attention to them anymore. So therefore, Hashem tells Moshe it's safe to return. So we see, therefore, that Anius is considered like Misa. And the Tanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Kol Mokum Shenosnu Chachamim Einehem, whenever any place where the Chachamim put their eyes negatively on a person, Oy Misa, Oy Oini, either it causes the person to die or to become poor. So the same thing over here, when a person is Moitzi, Shem Shemayim Levatola, and by the way, the Mephoshim say, it means in other languages as well. So you have people who throw around the name God a lot, for example, oh my God, or things like that. So we're talking about things like that, but a person shouldn't be doing that, and he deserves to be a nidui, as a thing. Otherwise, yeah. So again, according to the Mefarish, the vote is they should put him nidui in order that he becomes poor, because the alternative is chas v'shalom worse. According to everybody else, the vote is that since it's such a serious thing, then therefore for that reason alone, you have to protest against it by putting him in nidui.
And certainly when you say thank God, it says Hashem Shemayim.
So Shem, thank God maybe is more, you are after all thanking Hashem for something. Maybe that's less of using Shem Shemayim on the Batala. But you're talking about when people use expressions like, oh, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells in this connection, one time I was standing as a Talmud in front of Rav Huna. So he Rav Huna heard a certain woman who was using Shem Shemayim for nothing. Shamta, so Rav Huna put her in Shamta, in Nidui, and then right away, while she was still standing over there, he was matu it. Because the point is, it's not so much in order to put the guy, usually Nidui would apply for 30 days or something. Here the point is more in order to slash them, in order to warn them, don't ever do this again. Realize how serious the consequences are. But once you've done that, then you can be matu it right away. So the Gemara says, Shema min atlas. In fact, besides which also, the Rambam points out a practical fact, you have to be matu it right away, because otherwise other people are not going to know that they're in Nidri, and they're going to end up treating them normally, and then the whole concept of Nidri is going to be, everybody's going to think that it doesn't count for anything.
If you
put the person in Nidri for using Shem Shemayim Levatola, and then you're not matu it right away, what's going to happen? Other people are not going to know they were in Nidri.
There's a purpose of doing it.
That's what we're saying, is in order to warn them, don't ever do this again. So just putting them in Nidri for a moment suffices to show them how serious it is.
I will put you, but
right now I'm putting you in Nidri, but then I'm right away being matu you. And the Rambam says a practical reason, again, is because you don't want that people are otherwise not going to know that he's in Nidri. And in fact, the Rambam goes on to say, he says that if you're going to inform them, look, ultimately everybody is going to be in Nidui. Unfortunately, people throw around Hashem's name a lot, so you can't really have that the Olam is going to be in Nidui all the time. So therefore, for lack of any better alternative, you have to be matu right away.
You put someone in Nidui, you're putting him in Nidui against the whole people.
Yeah, generally speaking, Nidui is against everybody. Nobody is allowed to be within the four amas or do business with them. So that Talmud Chacham by himself can do that. We're going to tell you what we're saying. Rav Huna was doing it.
But then when there was a real purpose, it was done by Rabban.
Right, we're right. I mean, there's different kinds of nidui, right? You would have the kind that's done by Rabban. In fact, the Ran points that out. When you have a real nidui, for example, the Ran holds a real nidui, yeah, you can't be matu right away. He brings from the Rif and the Rambam, who don't make any such distinction. They say any kind of nidui, you can be matu right away. The Ran himself holds that no. He says, oh, this kind of nidui we're doing basically to warn him, then you can be matu right away. The kind of nidui where a person really has done something bad, and or whatever it is, yeah, then the nidui has to be for at least 30 days, says the Ran. Yeah. But anyway, the point is that, yeah, here we're doing it more as a warning that the person should realize how serious is what they just did. So Rav Huna did that, and he's mocked it right away. Yeah, obviously you can't just put a person in nudity for no good reason. There has to be b'chlal. The Rambam gives a list of 24 things for which a person is chayiv nidui. One of them is actually when a person puts somebody in nidui where they don't deserve it. So, technically there are three levels, Nidui, Chedem, and Shamta, and each one has more stringent rules than the previous one. But often we use the word Nidui or the word Chedem as kind of a synonym for all of them.
What's the ladder? What's the highest?
So Shamta is the most serious. Chedem below that, and then Nidui is a... So again, actually, according to the Mefarish on the previous Almud, exactly, we said that Shamta, he said, was not as serious as Nidui. But the general understanding, I think, is that usually that Nidui is the least serious, Chedem more so, and Shamta more so. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shema min atlas. Well, from this little story, we can learn three din. Number one, Shema min ashamea, askoras Hashem ipi chaver atzorach onadoi. So, number one, we see this din, that you have to put such a person in Nidui. You also see the din that we said at the top of the Amud, that if you put somebody in Nidui in his presence, then you can only be matu him in his presence, because we see that Rav Huna right away was matu this woman while she was still standing over there. With that said, there's a girsa that the She'iltas has, I think, that says that maybe he didn't do it in her presence. And the point is, we see from that you don't have to be matu b'fanav. Anyway, and the third one, the third thing that we learn from that is there doesn't need to be any amount of time between the nidui and the afara. You can put somebody in nidui and right away be mafter. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait a day or two, the Mefarish says, or 30 days, the Ran says. So again, the Ran wants to draw a distinction between different kinds of nidui, whether a person is in nidui because they actually did something wrong that deserves them a timeout from the tzibur, versus over here, where they did something very wrong, but still we're giving them nidui more as a warning not to do it again than anything else. And he says, maybe only this kind, you can be matter right away. But then he brings from the Rif and the Rambam, who said there's no distinction. Any kind of nidui at the discretion of the Rob who put him in nidui can right away take it off as well. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, Tamid Chacham menadol atzmei umei for la'atzmei. A Tamid Chacham is allowed to put somebody in nidui on his own. Oh no, la'atzmei actually means for himself. When a Talmud Chacham realizes that he misbehaved, he can put himself in nidui or mefer la'atzmai, and then when he does tshuva and he fixes up what he did, then he can be matur the neder for himself. Then he can be matur the nidui rather for himself. So now again, you have a machlokas over here where the Rashba says we're going to give an example over here of Mazutra where he put himself in nidui as a midas chassidus. He's not required to up the halacha, so that would be the kind that he can cancel his own nidui, but not the kind if he actually did something serious. Other Rishonim don't make that distinction, and they say he's allowed to, given that he has the power to put somebody in nidui, then he also has the power to release himself from the nidui as well.
Same person,
yeah. So that's the Gemara gives an example. So first of all, you want to ask Pshita, isn't that obvious? Since he has the right to put himself in nidui, and he has the right to be matu and nidui from somebody else, why shouldn't he have the right to be matu this? And the answer is, ma'udetema in chobosh matu atzim v'sasurim. Without saying that, you would think a prisoner can't get himself out of jail. So once he's imprisoned himself in nidui, maybe he needs somebody else to cancel it. Kamash malon, and then therefore we're saying that not. Well, the Gemara says, Heichi Dami, what is a scenario where a Talmud Chacham would be putting himself in nidui? And again, there are two ways of understanding the question. One, according to the Rashba, the question is, what kind of nidui can he put himself in that now he has the power to be matur himself in? In other words, the Rashba would say, if he puts himself in nidui, let's say, because he actually did one of the things for which a person is chayiv, one of the regular things for which a person is chayiv nidui, yeah, he can't be matur himself. We're talking about over here where he puts himself in nidui as a midas chassidus. And the Gemara is going to give an example of that. According to everybody else, the vote is rather what's the scenario where a Talmud Chacham would be doing a Talmud Chacham, after all, is usually not going to do one of the things that's Chayiv Nidui in the first place. What is an example of a Talmud Chacham? Why he would be, what's the scenario where he'd be putting himself in Nidui? We're not going to say, for example, because he blatantly did something that is out and out also. And the answer is, Ki Hod Marzutra Chasidah. We have the example of Marzutra Chasid, Ki Mechayiv Barbe Rav Shamta. If a young Talmud Chacham was deserving of Shamta, Mashmis Nafshe Bereisha, then what Marzutra would do is first he would put himself in Shamta, which was, first of all, the one reason is out of covered for the Torah, that after all, it's not right to have to put a Talmud Chacham in Cherem, in Shamta or whatever. So therefore it would be very hard to do it. So the Rosh brings that reason. Another reason is because this way he wants to be matur for this young Talmud Chacham as soon as possible by putting himself in Shamta first. That will help him remember that he put the other guy in Shamta, so that way he'll know to arrange to be matur it as soon as possible. So he would do that. So Mashmis Nafshe Bereisha, first he would put himself in Shamta, V'hod Mashamis Barbe Rab, then he would put that Barbe Rab, that young Talmud Chacham in Shamta, V'chi'ay Labese, then when Mazutra Chassidim would come home, Shori L'Nafshe, first he would be matur his own Shamta, because privately, which again, we said he can put himself in Shamta and he can take himself out of it. The point is he would do that first because Yovei Zakei V'chaper Alachayev, for him to be mechaper on the other guy and take off the Shamta on him, he himself has to first be Zakei, he himself can't still be in Shamta at that point. V'hodur Shorilei, then he would be matur for the young Talmud Chacham. So this way, so he did it as a midas chassidus, because of covered for the Torah, or to remind himself in order to remind himself to not forget to do it later. The Ran brings another point as well, another reason why he'd have to be, well, another reason why a Talmud Chacham would have to be mefer for himself, and why over here Mazutra has to be mefer for himself. The Ran points out another reason. If not, then if he's in Shamta, then his family would have to stay away from him also. So, uh, So in fact, the Ran discusses when a person is in Nidu Yoshamta, so his family surely has to stay away from him, but does his wife have to stay away from him? He brings from the Raiva, no, because Ishtek Yugofer. But then the Ran says that's not really a solid proof. Maybe in fact she would be Chayev to be Noyig Nidui in him. And therefore, that's another reason why Mazutra would be Matur himself as soon as he got home in order not to cause a Takola for his family. So this way his family doesn't have to treat him in Nidui. They can treat him like normal. And then after he did that, so that way he's not making a Takola for his family. Then it would be Matur, the young Talmid Chacham, whom he had put in Nidui. The pastors either were talking about that he put him in Nidui to begin with, again, because he was Maskil Shem Shemayim Levatala, or some such thing. Or we could be talking about where the guy had done something more serious, but where Mazutra knows already that being a young Talmud Chacham, he's already done Tshuva and promised not to do it again, so therefore he can be Matur in the Nidui.
And the Talmud Chacham knew that he was put into...
So the pastors, we have to assume that the Talmud Chacham himself knew that he was put in Nidui, otherwise, again, you have the same problem with Takola for other people. So yes, so he would realize that he's a Nidui, and that would motivate him to shape up. But
it's owned by Talmud Chacham.
Well, the Pashtus, the point is that if Mazutra had to put a regular person, not a Talmud Chacham, in Nidui, he wouldn't go through this whole rigmarole because there's no covered Torah involved. There's no tsar involved. There's no, I have to remember to be matter the guy. When the guy comes to Beis Din and asks for Mechila, then we'll deal with him. So therefore, Davka by a Bar Bei Rav, Davka, you'd have this whole scenario. Yeah. Okay. Everyone.